for sure. The seasons are, I believe, a picture of the renewing of man's soul. And rest at night is the same picture. Put in a good day's work, get a good night's sleep, feel pretty good the next morning when everything quits hurting. You ever get your arm whittled on and you think, boy, it's going to sure feel good when it gets all healed up. I've been thinking this week that everywhere I go, everybody's got an opinion. We ought to bomb them, or we ought to get out, or we ought to do this, or we ought to do that. Everybody's got a psalm, and everybody's got a hymn. Everybody knows what we ought to do. There's more coaches than I have ever seen. And my thought was this. I thank the Lord that I'm not a member of the Congress, and I'm not the president, and I'm not the vice president. I'm thankful the Lord didn't put any of them kind of decisions upon me. And I certainly don't want to take any. I believe the best thing is just wait and see what the Lord has to do with it and let it alone. But everywhere you turn, everybody's got their opinion that is not based upon anything. Just some idea. Not all this business about, oh, we all just go to war. I don't know about that either. You know, it's a terrible thought, really, that we would be that callous that we'd say, well, let's just go bomb them. Get them off. But that really isn't what I want to talk about this morning, but it's similar to it. 27th chapter, book of Isaiah this morning. When I study the scripture, and I look at the sovereignty of God from the very beginning with the creation of Adam. And we have all the way to Adam to Noah. And Noah to the flood, and then from the flood to the Israelite people going down into Egypt, into the land of sin. And then Moses coming up on the scene. Many things in between all that. But Moses coming up on the scene, and he's going to go, and this is more of the same idea, he's going to go fix it. And the Lord wasn't ready. Sent him off in the wilderness 40 years. Tutored him. Brought him back out. Delivered the Israelite people, brought them up to Sinai, gave them the Ten Commandments. And he brought them on until he gave them a more complete set of commandments, how they ought to act in the house of the Lord. On up until Christ came. And then we see the same thing going in the church as being delivered out of Egypt. And when we look at the whole scenario of things, whether it be a judgment that is fallen, or it be the people around you that are troublesome, or things that are troublesome, or it be the backsliding of Israel, or it be the backsliding of the church, or all those things. It doesn't matter. Nothing has anything to do with anything outside of what God said. He absolutely is absolute ruler over everything. Things can look so dim. Israelite people locked up down there in Egypt. Couldn't get out. They had a little corner over there they could get in, but couldn't get out. But when he brought Moses on the scene, just go get the people. All I got to do is to go tell Pharaoh. Don't have to tell him a whole lot, but just go tell him and these things will happen. And with even in the world today, God's people are persecuted. They think we're crazy. I'm talking about the religious world also. I'm talking about the people that call themselves Christians. They think we're absolutely crazy, that we wouldn't give another man a chance. We'd cut him off, they say, and not let him come, and not invite him, they say, when all the scripture is an invitation, come unto me. Of course, it's predicated upon all those that are hungry and heavy laden, come unto me. But still, the invitation is always there. But man, if of his own rebellious heart, will not come. But in all this thing, what a marvel that even the rebellious heart of man is working for God. So we have rulers come up and rulers fall. We have this faction come and that faction and another, and they wane and they rise. So everything, we go back and look at it this way. All things work together to good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. 27th chapter of the book of Isaiah, I believe I see some of those things. It said, in that day, the Lord, with His slower and great and strong sword, shall punish the Leviathan, the piercing serpent. Even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that's in the sea. Well, you know, I've read this before. And I always say, well, it's talking about the devil. But it's just talking about all the spirits of the devil, all kinds of them. That come up out of the sea. Every imaginable thing that would be against our God is what it's talking about, the spirit of Antichrist, actually. Everything that is contrary to God. But it doesn't matter. This is the old point. It really doesn't matter, because all things are still going to work out. God's going to rise up in His day and in His time. And He's going to slay the dragons and get rid of them. Get them out of the way. Verse 2, it said, and in that day, sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. The best kind is going to be in the land. You know what? It's going to be of the fuller grapes. The first picking of them. That's made into a good red wine. I think also we could see in this the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the red wine, the best, the very best of it, would be offered. And we're going to sing a song unto that great day that we're going to have that new red wine. It's a day of celebration. has come, that's when they're going to beat down the draft. Get rid of him. He said, I, the Lord, do keep it. Going to keep the vineyard. He said, at the vineyard of red wine, I, the Lord, do keep it. I'm going to till it, take care of it, water it, feed it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. They can come up against it all day long. They can talk about you. They can get mad at you. They can do whatever they want to do. But it won't make a bit of difference. It'll just bring them more aggravation. If we're at peace with our God, we don't have to rise up in rebellion against every little old thing. And I'll keep it. Night and day. Fury is not in me. Who would set the briars and the thorns against me in battle? What I see in this is they're trying to hedge in the people of God. Try to hold them in, hedge them in. But no, he's going to go right on through the thorns and the briars. Instead of set thorns against me in the battle, I would go through them, I would burn them all together. We're going to deliver them out of that. Take care of this vineyard and gather the very best out of it. I'm going to go in and I'm going to have it for my own. This is mine. I'm going to burn up all the briars. Another picture you might see it sometime. We'll go out there and burn the pasture off. Clean it up. I think that's somewhat what's happening here. Just go in there and burn it out. Cleanse it up. So it'll produce that good wine. Or let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me. And he shall. This is the best part. He shall make peace with me. I'm fixing to take care of it. I'm going to water it and till it and burn it out and clean it up and gather the best of the fruit unto myself. And it's going to be at peace with all these things. When I beat down the old dragons, then we're going to have peace. He shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. It's going to bring forth much fruit. Why? Because God himself is tilling it and taking care of it. Hath he smitten him as he smote those that smote him? No, not in full measure. Or he would have cut it all off in the beginning. He said, or is he slain according to the slaughter of them that are slain by him? No, he does a lot of chastising, but he doesn't totally kill them. His people I'm talking about. He's always watering and cultivating and bringing them through. But he doesn't utterly kill them, but he's always whipping on them if they go the wrong way or if the vine's not growing right. He said in measure, when it troubleth, shooteth forth, that will debate with it. He stayeth his rough wind in the day of the east wind. I think I see here maybe even a picture of our Holy Ghost that comes as the wind listeth. But even in the day of much heavy wind, there is a lighter wind always blowing upon the people of the Lord. He said, by this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged. That's what I was talking about in the very beginning. All these things, no matter what has happened, no matter what we see taking place, it's all for this one reason, that I might purify me of people out of all of it. That's the whole purpose of the work of God upon this world. By this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged, and this is all the fruit to take away his sin. This is what it's going to bear forth. It's this taking away of the iniquity of Jacob. That's the fruit of it. That's the fruit of all the work of God. It's going to remove that from his people. And when he maketh all the stones of the altar as chalk stones that are beaten in sunder, and the groves and the images shall not stand up. My first thought, maybe about the first time I ever read this, I'm thinking the wrong thing. I'm thinking about those tables that was at the temple, and eight of them in there, four on one side and four on the other line. That's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about the posts that are set beside our post. It's talking about the tables that are set beside our tables. It's talking about all those tables that the world is using to do their sacrificing on. That's what he's going to beat down. Not those that are in the service of God himself. He's going to tear them, every one, down and grind them up in little pieces. Going to take away a hedge. Going to go up, get in the grove, but he's going to take it away. He said the stones that are beaten in sunder and the groves and the images shall not stand up. Got many images today. I'm talking about really people trying to make some kind of image of our God, who is spirit and not fleshly like we think. And they're going to paint his picture on something or hang something up or see him in a window somewhere or some crazy something like that. If you can't see him in the glory of this book, you can just lay it down. There isn't any image like him. But have no fear. Lord is going to take all those things away from him. He said, yet the defense city shall be desolate. He's talking about all this religious junk now. And the habitation forsaken and left like a wilderness. There shall the calf feed, and there shall he lie down and consume the branches thereof. Well, it looks like here that he's already, now he's got over in the vineyard. And he's eating things up. He can't stay. Can't stay. When the boughs thereof are withered, they shall be broken off. The women come and set them on fire. For it is the people of no understanding. Therefore, he that made them will not have mercy on them. And he that formed them will show them no faith. He's not a respecter of persons. I don't care how religious they are. They can call themselves Christian all day long. But it won't have anything to do with anything outside of man having the Spirit of Christ. That's where it's at. And he said, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mountain at Jerusalem. They're all going to come to it. In the whole working of God, all lumped together, put together, the whole thing is for this one purpose, that he might gather together here to worship him in the church, Jerusalem. Gather them all together in the Song of Solomon, the 8th chapter. In verse 11, we have somewhat of the same picture. Said Solomon had a vineyard. Now that's not talking about Solomon. It's talking about our Lord at Baal Hamon. He let out the vineyard unto keepers, every one for the fruit thereof was to bring 1,000 pieces of silver. Now we got tenant farmers. They're going to work. They're going to work in this vineyard. And they're going to gather their part. And they're going to have it. That's going to be their inheritance. He said, my vineyard, which is mine, is before me. Thou, O Solomon, must have 1,000. Then those that keep the fruit thereof, 200. So, the one that owns the vineyard outright has bought it, paid for it, kept it. He's going to take the most. That's his inheritance. And those that work the vineyard, that have been called to do that, are going to have their portion, their inheritance in this vineyard. This vineyard that has the best red wine that there is in. Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions breaking to thy voice caused me to hear you. Oh, they're going to hear it. And then what I said all along, everything God does is to call out his people, and they're going to hear it. And they're going to follow him. He said, make haste, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or to a young hart upon the mountains of spices. It just sounds like a perfect place, doesn't it? that vineyard that the Lord is going to keep. We do believe in dispensationalism. You know that, don't you? That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Yeah, that's what it's all about. It is to glorify the name of the Lord in the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. So, it's what we've been talking about and we'll continue to talk about is all these things that are happening today. They may be troublesome to our flesh, but they are rejoicing to our spirits. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draw nigh. There's a lot of sadness on the one hand, especially as it pertains to the salvation, or really the lack of salvation from our loved ones. But God is righteous. And what we ought to be thinking about really is what mercy God has had on us if we do know Him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, and He has sent. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for your neighbor. But know that God in His righteousness is not going to destroy one for whom Christ has died. Neither is He going to justify one for whom Christ has not died. And sin, as Brother Bruce has often said, it is our own. But God will be glorified either way.